Hello and welcome to Over the Trend, a very special live episode, our second of the academic year. Seemingly a longer wait for Forest to get back into the Premier League than to us having our second live show. We were touched by really sad news today. John Motson has sadly passed away, and we've got Ali Glenn in the studio. You'll know Ali Glenn from previous episodes as a Leicester City fan, and of course Kieran's beside me as ever, my reliant Kieran Etheridge. Kieran, how are you, mate?
I'm alright, yeah. It's been a while.
It's nice to be back in the studio with you, mate. Ali, haven't seen you in the studio for a long time. Ali, you doing good?
I am doing very well, although, as we will get onto very quickly, the news of John Motson's death has been sad for me, and I'm sure it has for the both of you as well.
Yeah, and it's quite weird when a commentator dies, isn't it? Especially with John Motson's legacy and sort of importance to British culture.
Yeah.
You think about the amazing moments he's commentated on, and he felt so likeable, so warming. And we know this is a Forest, Notts County and Mansfield Town podcast, but there's moments for every single club. I'm sure Leicester City will have their memories, but Kieran, you brought up a nice story about Brighton.
Yeah, his dad was a season ticket holder for Brighton Hove Albion, and we were the first club to recognise his 50 years of service at the BBC. Did a really fitting tribute that our admin on Instagram and Twitter reposted today, actually. Mm. Did a nice tribute for when he had the 50 years. And he also commentated on our first ever Premier League goal, where we actually ended up scoring three in that game. So he had quite a bit of commentating to do. But he was just he had a really nice relationship with Brighton, to be honest.
Yeah.
He always came down. He got given a Brighton Hove Albion shirt with 50 on the back, signed by all of the squad at that time. And it's going to be a big miss in the footballing world.
Yeah, I'm just going to give you some stats here, Ali. Motson covered 10 World Cups, 10 European Championships, 29 FA Cup finals for BBC Sport before retiring in 2018. We all know the Ronnie Radford goal. Do you have any favourite memories of Motson?
It's really difficult to bring individual things to mind, but when you think of John Motson, you just think of the sort of unending enthusiasm. He was never cynical. He was never one of these commentators who's sort of trying to get their own shtick in ahead of anyone else. He was a man who and almost impressively so loved football as much on his last day of commentary as his first. And you know, like all three of us, to varying degrees, have ambitions to be in the broadcasting world, and seeing people like that who just unequivocally and unapologetically love what they do is a standard. It's a standard bearer for all of us.
Totally agree. And there's amazing lines from him, such as, for those watching in black and white, Spurs are in yellow. And he just made himself so vulnerable to the audience because he didn't have a sort of Martin Tyler-esque cringeworthy, not having a go at Martin Tyler here, this is about most commentators, he didn't have those sort of pre-prepared lines that feel very, very obvious to the person who watches football every day and every week. He feels very, very open, very honest, and I have seen a clip of him being cynical, but it's so endearing. It's basically, it's an FA Cup 50 greatest moments, and the guy asking the questions goes, Bert Trautmann, would he have played today? Would he have played on with a broken neck today? And he goes, no, because we have substitutes nowadays. And it just shuts the interview down. But he does it so charmingly with that nice little touch of the eye. And you just think, right, he's here for life. I think Motson for me also, and a goal. I just love that. And you never get that and anymore, because obviously football commentary has grown up a little bit. But he just, for me, almost created it. If you think about the time he was coming into the industry, we only had Match of the Day, so two or three games a week, would have been shown. And to sort of build the legacy he has, it is superb. And
you mentioned those FA Cup finals. I just remember that one of those was actually the FA Cup final in, I think it was 1983.
Oh, is this the
Brighton-Manchester United final, where we were obviously a goal up at one point, and then United pulled it back. But
is it Ronnie White should score?
I think so.
He must score. So, but I admit, we sort of dragged Ali in here.
Gordon Smith
must score. Oh, and he's just, his voice is timbre. was just so perfect, wasn't it? I know that sounds, this is getting very radio heavy, but, and he was obviously a TV commentator, but his voice was just so superb for football, isn't it?
Mm, so much. I mean, like, when we think of when we think of football commentary in our head, I don't know about you guys, but for me, it's Clive Tyldesley. Mm. But for our parents, and actually for Clive Tyldesley, who himself tweeted earlier today, when I was a teenager, all I wanted to be was John Motson.
Oh.
but for that generation before us, it was Motty. Yeah. That's what it was. And like all of the iconic moments of the 80s and 90s, well, not literally, but so many.
He wasn't there when Thatcher went from office in 90, was he?
So
with
many
his big sheepskin cone.
So many of them are punctuated, are narrated by John Motson.
Yeah, I totally agree. And we thought it was just fitting to have a few minutes of tribute to him. And we're going to end this segment with the FA Cup final. Him, Abide With Me by Mahalia Jackson. And we're all thinking of John Motson's family and his two kids at the moment. So our prayers and thoughts with them. But thank you, Motty, for everything you've done for us.
This is University Radio Nottingham.
Thank you so much, Ali, for joining us there for our tribute to John Motson. Right, we're going to move on now and talk about how Forest have dealt since the last podcast, and they've done pretty well. Since we last talked, Forest have gone on to get a point away at Bournemouth. A disappointing result in the League Cup semi-final with Manchester United. We'll have a little bit of chat with that with Jake Longhurst, who joined me at the City Ground for that 3-0 demolition. And then I'll talk a little bit about going to Old Trafford. Nottingham Forest, then we get a fantastic win over Leeds United with one of the best goals I have seen in person. A disappointing result against Fulham, followed by one of the great draws for Nottingham Forest, it felt like. We'll then go on to talk a bit about West Ham and Everton, and then Tottenham. Lots to look forward to. Let's start, Kieran, with the 1-1 at Bournemouth. Forest played a disappointing game, if we're really, really honest. Many chances throughout, but just couldn't quite convert. 20 shots, 5 on target. 58% possession, which is very rare for Nottingham Forest. However, it would be a Sam Surridge late equaliser scoring against his old club, which would mean the Reds got another point on the road. Nottingham Forest struggling on the road, and do you think they should have made a bit more hay whilst the sunshine down on the south coast, Kieran?
Yeah, I think it was definitely a disappointing result given how Bournemouth looked coming into this as well. And they were in a fairly dire run of form, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
And Forest were kind of on the up at this point. Chris Wood, was that his debut?
Was his debut, signed the day before.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, if I remember correctly, it was a very disappointing debut.
Yeah.
He didn't really do much in that game. But I think this is really where you see a turning point in Forest's season now. It's when it was just after this game that everything started to click, it seemed. Cooper really started getting the players on side, started to figure out his best squad. And I think those signings that did come in, Wood being one of them, did help him here. I think a lot of people may have seen it as a scattergun approach, but it was obviously people that he had identified looking at the form afterwards. But this game, yeah, definitely a very disappointing result. Danilo obviously came on. I think he looked quite bright in this game, didn't he, when he came on?
Yeah.
Him and Gibbs White had quite a good game, if I remember correctly. I don't know. I feel like it was definitely 2 points dropped given how the teams came into this game.
Yeah.
And Forest definitely could have picked up those 2 points, but it wasn't to be on the day.
Yeah, but I think I totally get your 2 points dropped, and I felt like that on the day. However, looking back, the timing of the goal suggested to me a greater thing, which I think you touched upon just there. Forest are growing as a team, and the fact we're getting late equalised instead of just sort of getting battered. I know that sounds mad, but we'll talk about that with Man City. We're growing as a team, and also with Wayne Hennessy in goal.
I think it was always going to be a tough game. I think that was known because in the Premier League, even if you're coming up against a relegation relegation threatened side, they're always going to play a low block, hit you on the break, which is what Bournemouth did. And unless you're one of those top teams that can dismantle those kind of low blocks, you're not going to get a big scoreline against a team like that. And I think Forest obviously showed character to come back into the game after being 1-0 down for the majority of it. And as I said, it only went up from here, really, which, disregarding, obviously, the United results.
Which was a free hit.
Which, I mean, it's a cup run that Forest did well to get to that point. And
totally
I think going out to Manchester United isn't anything to be ashamed of, especially considering the form they're in and considering
how good Rashford
is at the moment and how Ten Hag's got that team playing. But this Bournemouth game, I think, really kind of showed a change in mentality in the team and a change in maybe how Cooper started setting up his side, because obviously having the kind of people to come in, like Jonjo Shelvey, obviously Keylor Navas, you've got the likes of Danilo coming in, Chris Wood, Felipe, they're all names that have experience behind them, other than maybe Danilo, and that are going to be able to change how he sets up the side. He's got multiple different game plans that he can go to now. He can play a side that's very similar to this now, to be honest, with a more industrious midfielder, Mangala and Yates. Or he can go for a bit more of a technically driven midfield now as well. So I think this really did prove that it was going to be a turning point in the season here.
Yates, this will be one of the last games he played before he fully had to come off due to injury. He's been a big miss. But like you said, Kieran, the players like Jonjo Shelvey, who had a stonkingly good game against Man City, the signings Cooper has made since this 1-1 draw, which is disappointing. You look at the level of opposition, Neto in goal, Kelly, Anthony, I mean, Lerma's pretty good, and Kiefer Moore always scores against us, bar this game. Do you remember when he came and scored for Cardiff against us under Houghton? It must have been, it was definitely under Houghton. Oh, goodness me, how far we've come. We do need to remember that. Brennan Johnson, Morgan Gibbs-White looking fantastic, and that will probably move us on to the next few games. Felt a little bit disappointing considering we just beat Leicester City 2-0, and then came the Man United legs. Now we'll save it for when Jake Longhurst arrives, and we'll go to the 1-0 win over Leeds United. Kieran, this is one of your first games back at the City Ground.
It was.
Not a bad game to come back for.
No, it was a huge result for Forest. I know we talked about the Leicester City result being good, but I think this arguably was better, especially coming off those two games against United. There really needed to be a turnaround. So they did. There was always that potential that even though, we considered them free hits, the squad could have really gone into a slump here in their league form, but they didn't. They turned it around. Brennan Johnson getting the goal. It was a very Leeds heavy game in terms of possession. I mean, if we're looking at the stats here, 70% possession to Leeds. Don't remember it being that one sided, but
says a lot about Jesse Marsh, who the day after would take the sack. And Nottingham Forest, with only 30% possession, would hold on for an amazing win.
I just remember that Notto guy.
I thought he was very average, and everyone else was like, oh, he's amazing. I thought he
should have been sent off multiple times that game.
Yeah.
I think refereeing was a bit dodgy in that game. But Forest did well to grind out the result. Brennan Johnson scoring is always a good sign. He needs to be scoring in order to make this team successful, because it seems Cooper's put his trust in him since the start of the season, and there were times where even me and you said that he should be being dropped. But obviously he hasn't been, and he's slowly but surely coming through to his best form now and kind of offering something different going forward.
You think about all the goals and goal involvements he's been in now since, I'd say about January, since the World Cup. Actually, that's the best way to put it. Since the World Cup, he's been so pivotal for Forest. And like you said there, if you actually go back to our October and November episodes, we were very critical of Johnson because he just didn't make the step up. And we'd also always make the caveat, well, of course, this is his first year, of course, and we need to remember that. He is such a young talent. And also, I think we said leave him out for a little bit of his own protection, in a way, because it is a massive step up, and physically it is more demanding. But the way Cooper has been able to mould him, maybe it's time with Bale especially, his finishing has improved. It's incredible. And let's talk about that volley. Not bad.
It's a brilliant goal. Like, it kind of came out of nowhere as well. Mm. We it was a corner. We're a bit like, we don't...
We never score from corners.
Yeah, Forest never score from corners. That's just the thing with teams that I support.
Yeah.
Brighton don't score from corners. Never. You think of the players that we have and have had, Dan Byrne especially. Yeah, don't score from corners ever. But yeah, I think we had some mad stat that it was like 217 corners taken in the Premier League. We scored from one, and that was an own goal by Reece James.
Wow.
But Forest don't score from corners either. Was this Keylor Navas' first game?
It was his debut.
Yeah, and it was a phenomenal debut. Mm. He made some big, big saves, as I think that's going to be a theme recurring throughout most of these next conversations that we have. Really showing off his experience. I think that's going to be an absolute vital pickup, especially considering Dean Henderson's injury. And I do feel a bit sorry if he does come back from injury. I don't see him getting back into the squad if Navas keeps up this form, which is a bit of a shame.
Yeah, and I was going to say this for a little bit later in the pod, but you bring it up now. The saves Navas have made have kept us to win and get draws a draw and a very important win. The saves he makes at the start of the game, I think Ganotto, and against Bamford are so pivotal.
Yeah.
He's really good. Just close quarter saving, and has made some amazing diving saves too. You have just said Navas for the rest of the season, barring any injuries. Navas for the rest of the season.
Yeah, him and Felipe, as we'll come on to a bit later on, because obviously he hasn't quite come into the squad at this point. Him and Felipe have been absolutely pivotal in recent results. They're both really showing their experience, Champions League experience, which is something really rare to have in a team that was at the start of the season looking relegation threatened.
Yeah.
Whereas now it looks a lot brighter. The players that have been brought in, there is a logic there. And it is stay up at all costs at this point.
It is stay up at all costs. But let's just keep on this debate. Navas, for you, that Champions League quality, and as you just said, staying up at all costs, this is only a loan. But we got to maybe look to next year. And this is very presumptuous of us, considering we were literally having panic stations at the start of the year. Navas, would he come to Forest next year? Would Henderson be more likely? Is De Gea stay? There's a lot to go around, and I want to hear your thoughts. Do we maybe stay on the good side of Henderson if we would get a little bit more safe?
I think the thing is with the whole De Gea situation at United, he's a brilliant shot stopper and he's coming back into form now. However, Ten Hag does like having a keeper that can play with his feet, and De Gea isn't really that kind of goalkeeper, whereas Dean Henderson, he can be moulded into that, especially under a manager like Ten Hag. So I don't know whether perhaps he might be brought back in to be their cup goalkeeper, with a clause saying that he will likely be the goalkeper go to in the 25 season, and he might take that, to be honest, because he's still young.
Yeah,
he's still got plenty of time. He can still get into that England squad.
Yeah.
But I think Keylor Navas, it all depends what happens at other big clubs, because anyone could pick him up. Genuinely, he would go to any. He could step into any big club's team, bar maybe City, Liverpool, and Madrid at the moment.
Barcelona, are they still up to
Stegen? No, he's not getting in there. But like, he could get into a Champions League team fairly easily. Yeah. The fact that he's at Forest is kind of ridiculous, to be honest.
Yeah, and it's a little bit mad, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you look at the players we are recruiting: Felipe, Lodi, Danilo, and Danilo was superb
even
this game.
Froiler. He was playing for Atlanta in the Champions League at one point.
They're really, really good players, and we're starting to see the rewards for this. Now, the atmosphere for the Leeds game was superb, I thought. And the atmosphere for the Man City game was superb. And it's just that lifting of the spirits. Now, Nico Williams started, and we've just been told Serge Aurier is out for a few weeks.
Okay.
Nico Williams could work quite well with Lodi. Bolly is also out for a little while, same with Scott McKenna, meaning Felipe and Worrell are going to be our centre-backs, which was an injury in the next game, which we'll talk about in a little bit. It's quite interesting the back line has shifted consistently for this whole season, but how do you feel with Nico Williams making his personal. We've just had a text in saying, I
wonder who
UK.
That is.
I wonder who that is. Their love for Nico Williams is unbounded.
They should have capitalised the eco in.
Yeah, that's very good. That is very good. Shout out to Eco Frenzy. Nico Williams at right back. What do you think his thoughts and feelings will be? Another player just on the fringes who's maybe lost out to an older player.
This is a brilliant opportunity for him. Mm. I think he has the potential to be the starting fullback there. I think Aurier has come and done surprisingly well.
Yes.
When he was at Spurs, he wasn't this consistent. Mm. But he's been really, really good for Forest since coming in. He's been pretty pivotal on that side. Mm. And probably saved quite a few goals, to be honest. But I think Nico Williams definitely has the potential to go on and be that and really solidify that position as his own. He has been deployed a bit further up the field a little bit.
Yes, into the midfield,
which is quite interesting. But the other thing that is also quite interesting is Omar Richards
still out, and he's
still out,
and he's not going to be on the squad list. He wasn't placed on the squad list.
However, there is a possibility that you can update the squad because I think I don't know how reliable the report was. Mm. But I saw something saying that apparently Cooper asked to update the squad list, citing injury reasons, because obviously the large amount of injuries that have been sustained, which I think if the Premier League deem it...
I think it would be fair, because...
Fair.
Okay, we've sort of flowed game to game, but injury tour and squad lists need to be discussed. Steve Cook is no longer in the squad. Lewis O'Brien, no longer in the squad. Omar Richards, again, out of the squad. Since then, Serge Aurier has been injured. William Bolly? We've gone back to call him William Bolly again. He's got his Willy back because he's deserved it. He's got his name back. But for a long time for us, he was just William.
Yeah,
because he did not deserve
full name.
Full name until you're good enough. Scott McKenna is also out injured. And Yates, he's also injured from this.
It's a very thin squad all of a sudden.
Taiwo, Chessie, Henderson... It got thin pretty quickly, but it's I can't blame Cooper for trying to move the side on and keep it flowing. And obviously Jonjo Shelvey's come back in. We've signed players. The youth team's obviously doing very well for us. Alex Mighton's come back into the fold. Brennan Johnson scores an absolute peach of a volley and Forest win 1-0. It felt a lot easier than the stats say. Forest apparently only had 6 shots with 2 on target, 1 being an absolute belter. 30% possession. Forest are getting better at just being at home and just holding the line, holding that sort of feel of just not dominating the game. And I think last year, and even under Houghton and under Sabri Lamucci, there was that feeling if we didn't have enough of the ball, the crowd would turn. However, that sense of we can hold on, this can be our sort of... this can be our backs to the wall and the fans of that wall to keep us going. I think it is very important to the Forest team and that Forest environment. I also want to say how good the crowd's been in the past few games.
Yes.
It's been superb, hasn't it?
Yeah, home games. Who was it on commentary that you sent me?
Oh, it might be Steve Wilson Might be Steve Wilson. We'll try and get that.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's incredible.
Yeah, he said that the reason... Forest are unbeaten at home for so long is because of the home crowd. And I think that's very fair to say at the moment. The home crowds have been absolutely phenomenal. Atmosphere, everyone's up for it, every game. Mm. Not even just... It's just the noise.
Yeah. That sounds stupid, but it's so true.
It doesn't... It's not even just, like, the fact that... Forest, it's not even the back and forth between the fans. It is there, but less so towards the middle and end of the game. It starts off like that, but then it's just generally this noise that's edging the team on, pushing for that result. And it really is something special at the moment. It's almost like we're playing Derby every game.
Yeah, that's such a good point. Yeah. And I have felt that sort of surge of adrenaline after Leeds and after Man City. And Leeds, okay... bit of a big rival for us. Man City, certainly not a big rival for us. But I felt so excited. And you look at some of the misses Kevin De Bruyne made, and you look at some of the defending, especially Luke Ayling, who was all over the place. And you just think, what is happening with the crowd? What's it doing to the opposition? I really think they're a 12th man in a way that is often sort of just said in press conference. press conferences and sort of just said to get fans on side. But there's no way Forrest are holding on for so long at Man City without that crowd, without that backing. And I just think Forrest have got it all right. And one of the main songs that is often used as part of the build-up is Insomnia by Faithless. We hope you enjoy this one. Hope we're getting into a good Thursday evening slot. Forrest are going to play West Ham on Saturday. We're really looking forward to it.
Close your eyes anymore when I kiss your lips.
This is University Radio Nottingham.
That was The Righteous Brothers with You've Lost That Loving Feeling, and that's dedicated to all the Leeds United fans. It was a long trip back up the road to Yorkshire. Do apologise if you are from Yorkshire. It was. Have you seen the clips of them fighting in the Prime Club car park? What is it about that car park recently? It's a very aggressive place to be.
I reckon the stewards wind them up.
I genuinely don't think it helps. I think the Brian Clough stand's actually got a bit more feist in it this year.
Yeah, so, it has.
Yeah, because like, when the Champions of Europe song started last... When was it? Last week. Yeah, would have been last week. It was all coming from the Brian Clough stand down towards the away fans. But we're not just talking about Man City. Not just talking about Man City. We have a United fan in the room. Right, should we just get this over and done?
A very happy United fan at the moment.
Very happy United fan indeed.
Jake, you okay?
I'm doing brilliantly.
Right, that's the
second one. That was Zach done. Good. Jake, you went to Nottingham Forest versus Manchester United at the City Ground. League Cup semi-final, the first League Cup semi-final Nottingham Forest had been in since the 90s, the very early 90s. It was a bit weird, lots of pressure on the game, and then Rashford scores an absolute beaut. But what was your experiences of that night?
You know what? Other than the some slightly questionable comments from certain members of the crowd that
in front of us.
Yeah. Other than them, and the fact that I was sat there in a United shirt under two layers, not just the one. I had, you know, two layers of protection to make sure no one tried to send me off the send me off the front,
including your bulletproof vest.
Yeah,
stabproof vest, bulletproof vest. They were the two layers.
Which unfortunately left your sort of arms very
visible. My arms were a little exposed, but you know what, it could, I tucked the sleeves in and also it was hidden. It was a great game, and I've got to be honest, obviously Rashford's goal was an absolute blinder, as we're all aware, but Danilo,
right,
you know what, Danilo looked good.
Yeah.
And if Danilo hadn't come off, I would have thought Forrest could have got one back.
And then you never know what happens at Old Trafford. Yeah. Let's break down that Rashford goal. A really, really well-earned run is the only way I can
think
about.
Rashford made it as well.
When does he pick it up? He picks it up just
before halfway.
Yeah, it's an absolute stormer of a run.
It's quite similar to the one he did against Burnley not long previously in the, I think, the previous round.
He turns McKenna and Worrell inside out, takes the ball, puts it with his left foot. Isn't he right-footed?
He is,
yeah.
Yeah, and just scores a really good goal past Hennessy. Hennessy, who really should be doing better.
Should have been doing better, but also...
also Wayne Hennessy.
You're against arguably the most informed player in... Certainly in Europe. Oh, I'd say arguably the world right now.
Yeah.
And if he's going to score, he's going to score. It's Rashford right now.
Yeah, very good point. Rashford has been so good for you guys.
Yeah.
And he must be so enjoyable to just watch him.
I mean, I'm really glad I got to see... Obviously... You know, a cheeky Verhoeven goal.
That's
very happy about that. The
that's
only one
his,
so
that's
far.
An antique piece. For
I
you.
Got to see the only one so far. So very happy with that. But to see the team working together, and obviously a cheeky bit of Marcus Rashford in my life to almost quote Mambo number 5 there. I was very happy to see that in person, and just to see how good he is on the pitch. Like, he is brilliant at just so much right now. So obviously he's been literally the key to our league success, cup successes recently, which slightly worrying because we're having to rely so heavily on one player and to a degree Casemiro as well. Those are kind of the two linchpins for us. And even De Gea, to be honest.
De Gea's been good.
De Gea's been blooming marvellous for us. He kept us in the game against Leicester. So
I think Bruno Fernandes has been going.
Bruno Fernandes has been great.
As well, though.
I think he has to a degree, but I think we could get by without him at the moment.
Potentially.
We'd struggle, but we'd still get by. But Casemiro, De Gea and Rashford, I think, have been our three key players. And in front of goal, Rashford is our man.
I think you include Christian Eriksen in that before his injury.
Yeah,
well.
But now less so. Certainly for the moment, we're doing completely fine without him. But Rashford and Casemiro, especially, without those two, we're really struggling on the pitch in front of goal. So slightly worried, but obviously, you know, the chances of a takeover and a massive signing, a proper marquee signing, are pretty high. So I'd assume we'll get a really good striker, maybe another winger, who will bring in some more goals for next season. But for the moment, quietly confident that we can actually do pretty well. And certainly the form Newcastle have been in recently, I'd say quietly we are looking like we should be taking the Carabao Cup home.
I mean, they're going to have to play with Lloris Karius in goal.
I hear he's great in finals.
Yeah. We'll keep to the final, that'll be your final prediction. How do we put this? The game had a lot of peril for Man United, especially in that first half. The Sam Surridge goal goes in, and the limbs was incredible.
It was wild. Forest fans were nuts. You know what? Even I was loving it. It was a great goal.
Yeah. And then it's by the barest of all kneecaps, it turns out.
Honestly, literally like a smidge of a knee, and he's offside, which is... I've made this gripe before, I'll make it again. I don't like the current state of offside on VAR, in that I think offsides like that should just be a ref decision. If the ref really wants to take it to VAR, go for it. But if the ref deems it onside on the pitch, when it's that slim a margin, you know what, just go for it.
Yeah, and I think similar... I get it is that it was factually that is offside.
Yeah.
And I get that if what is what VAR is currently standing for. And also, it has come back to support Forest in other times.
Yeah, it's helped teams, it's hindered teams.
Yeah, but wouldn't you like to see a sort of NFL style, which we do touchdown together, which we will be doing a Super Bowl review prod, but it's been very, very busy for both of us. Wouldn't you like a sort of challenge system?
I would, and not even that. I think it should just be a little bit more up to the ref's discretion, in that if it's that close to being onside, it should probably just be played through, because 10 years ago, that's a goal, comfortably. And I kind of like that because it keeps more goals coming. A lot of people who I've talked to have said, oh no, but I like that the Premier League has a few less goals. The goals count for more, they matter more. Mm. But you know what? What's more entertaining? A 1-0 game where there's three offsides, or a 3-1 game where there's no offsides? And you know, if they're all really tight offsides, then it's just a pain in the bum. You know, you deal with it, but your team plays on, because frankly... half a centimetre isn't going to matter in the end of the day. That would have been a goal if they'd have been half a centimetre further backwards. That's still on the defence at that point.
Yeah, totally agree. Vu Veghorst gets a weird sort of diving, weird...
We'll take it, you know what?
Yeah.
The man...
you bought his length? His length came
into... Yeah, we bought him for the fact that he is enormous and his enormity helped in his goal. He, bizarrely, is definitely better without the ball. He's really good for us not on the ball. He helped set up all three goals against Leicester.
He's kind of playing in that Joe Linton role,
he is.
Of like in that midfield between the lines almost. He is such a smart player until
his
the
brains,
ball goes
his brains off the ball are feet, really good.
His feet can't keep up with his brain.
I wouldn't say that. I'd say his feet are comparable to the average cinder block at the moment. Like, if he hit the ball in the right direction, it's going to be a goal, but he's just got to actually properly hit it right.
Yeah.
And which currently isn't happening. He's almost better at headers than he is kicking the ball at the moment, but his game knowledge and his gameplay and his vision are really good for us. He's really helping Rashford open defences up by taking a detour, taking a little line off somewhere, and really sending defences a bit nuts, because he's still a target man, absolutely. He can still finish, but just by him taking a little run opens a defence up for Rashford, or puts something into the keeper's mind to just keep them ticking over a little bit more than they would otherwise need to, and that opens up for currently the world-class left winger Marcus Rashford to go and absolutely score a blinder.
Yeah, Bruno Fernandes then gets a sumptuous volley, and that pretty much wraps up the tie, 3-0. Yeah.
Or Jadon Sancho, in this case.
Was it
Sancho who scored the final goal against Leicester, my friend.
Oh, sorry, I was talking about the 3-0.
Oh, of course, yeah. So, they were both 3-0.
Yeah. Yep, well, must be awful being a United fan.
woe is me for having two 3-0s in recent times.
There's just so many. I can't get them. You know what I mean? Then would come a 2-0 easy win. I mean, it was always going to be a draw at minimum for that game.
I was hoping for more from both, to be honest.
But if you actually look at the Forest team, five under-21s on the bench, we'd sort of given up the ghost a little bit.
When you're coming to Old Trafford against the United team in that much of a run of form, you can only expect so much. It was worth just turning up and getting a few players some time.
You essentially had a full-strength team out as well.
Yeah, we were not there to mess about, because, frankly, Ten Hag wants to play as long as he can in all four competitions, and if we get away with a win in the Carabao, even better, some trophies, some silverware. So he was not going to mess about.
Yeah, we will talk a little bit more about that trip to Old Trafford after this. However, Jake, best of luck to Manchester United. That pains me to say, I'm just being polite. Best of luck in the League Cup final. Can we have a score prediction for this Sunday?
I'm going to say 2-1 United.
2-1?
Although, also just as excited about tonight's game, so...
Yeah, are you in the, where are you playing in Europa League? It's Barcelona, isn't it?
Yes, it's at Old Trafford though. The previous fixture was a week ago today, 2-2. Absolutely brilliant fixture, really exciting game. Mm. And hopefully tonight will be just as exciting, but with more United goals than Barca goals. That'd be lovely.
Lovely stuff. Jake, thank you so much for coming on. And now it's time for Money, Money, Money by the cast of Mamma Mia.
On campus.
And online.
This
is URN.
It is Over the Trend, our second live special of the year. We're going to end on Will of Kintyre. Let's go to the big, big result. We'll skip over Fulham away, disappointing 2-0 loss. We lost the game, chasing it, just that end. And obviously two centre-backs going down, leading to a debut for Felipe.
All I'm
going
to say is that they've won every game they've played since they signed Shane Duffy permanently.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, lovely.
So, yeah, they beat Forest and they beat Brighton.
Yeah. To your favourite teams. Let's go to Man City away, which is why you're all here. Let's face it. Huge draw for the Reds. 4 shots to 23. 1 shot on target to 6. 27% possession to 73. 252 passes to 676 passes. 8 fouls to 6. 1 yellow card. And they get... Oh, that's interesting. I thought it was a bit more dirty than that. Huh. Kieran, did you think Forest were going to get anything from this game?
I think everyone thought it was a bit of a free hit as such, but fair play. Like, honestly, that Bernardo goal was sublime.
A screamer.
It was a brilliant goal. I remember turning to you being like, the only way they're going to break this down is if a screamer goes in, and then a few minutes later, Bernardo pops up and absolutely blasts one into the roof of the net. It looked like... Navas should have done better until you realise that ball is going directly into the roof of the net.
Yeah.
There's not much he could have done. And we were like, oh, here we go. The stream of goals is about to come. But nothing happened until Chris Wood turned up.
Yes. And well, actually, well, I think it's worth mentioning how defensive Forest were.
Oh, yeah. No, Felipe had the game of his life.
Superb.
And Navas also had an absolute brilliant game. Winding up Jack Grealish was fun. Kevin De Bruyne looked like he was just...
Well, I don't think Kevin De Bruyne took it seriously.
No.
He took 6 major shooting opportunities and wasted all of them. Bars, a good ball into the box, which Rodri should score. He was just shooting.
Yeah, and we also need to talk about the Haaland misses.
Well, we'll get on to that. But Worrell, superb. Jonjo Shelvey, superb. But if you actually look at the City goal, Worrell gets injured. There's a boot to the head, which VAR do not pick up. And Worrell, throughout the goal build-up, is actually holding his head and moves away from the ball, which usually would just sort of try and stand. But because of the boot to the head and because Worrell's so honest, he doesn't make a deal of it. And I think that's sort of his honesty coming down on it. And if you think about that, Forest could have legally won this game if you take away their goal due to a very, very dirty boot to the head. But let's focus on the positives. We need to get away from criticising VAR because we will be here for days. The Man City misses are hilarious. And it's not even misses. It's also really disappointing balls from Phil Foden. Passing it a little bit too late, gets caught in two minds between passing it to Haaland and scoring himself. Do you think that represents almost City relying too much on Haaland in a way?
Potentially. I think it's almost they're trying to force Haaland into the play rather than playing what's natural. He's a brilliant goal scorer. There's no denying that. He's top goal scorer in the league. He's outscoring entire teams. There are a few chances about that.
Yeah, he's outscored us by far.
Yeah, but I think... I don't know. I think they will eventually figure out a way to play where everyone goes in. But I think there's too much going forward for them as such. There's too many different players. Phil Foden, I saw a thing today saying that he needs to get away from Pep Guardiola if he's going to truly...
Really?
Yeah, because you think, okay, right, he's better through the middle. That is just one thing. Or he's better through the middle and then drifting out wide. However, Pep plays him as an out-and-out winger, which isn't his preferred position. And theoretically, looking at how he plays in the England setup when he does get a game, he should be tearing up the Premier League, to be honest. But he just isn't. And I think that realistically, He's a star player in a team full of star players. If he went to a team that perhaps didn't have as much star power in it,
and just be allowed to shine, do you think?
Yeah, and be allowed to shine, given that kind of free roaming number 10 role, he would set the league alight. But yeah, I think Haaland will eventually click into that team. I think it's crazy saying that he isn't clicking already, considering the goals he has scored. But
imagine what it would be like when he fully can fit into a world-class team.
Yeah.
If you actually look at the Forest lineup, it is a sort of Christmas tree formation. Shelvey, Froehler and Colback. Very interesting to see Colback back in the team. Definitely some really good management by Cooper, because he was an absolute treat. It's really trying to get the fullbacks to work the ball down the wings, to cross the balls back in, which Worrell and Felipe were so good at just getting rid of, or Serge Aurier was well good at getting rid. Should we talk about the Forest goal?
Yeah.
Or do you want to, should we have a little bit of chat about Navas and Haaland? Because Navas made some world-class saves.
Yeah, but Haaland should have scored. Like, genuinely, he took a shot. Navas made a good save, fumbled it a little bit. Probably our only criticism we can make of him that game is the fact that he fumbled that. Ball fell to Haaland again. Shot hit the crossbar.
Yeah.
Then did he shoot again?
Yep.
And just completely missed. So
hits the post. Then massive. He takes a touch. He takes a touch and then just, I don't know how to describe it, just clowns it over the bar.
It was so poor and it was crazy.
It's
that
so unlike him.
Like, even if he scored there, it's just kind of an acceptance that the game was gone at that point. But keeping Forrest in that game was vital, as we would have seen for when Chris Wood came onto the pitch.
Oh.
Me and you looked at each other and we were like, what?
Game's done.
No, this is done. And then it wasn't apparently.
No, it turns out not. Forrest would score one of the best goals of the year, in my opinion. How often would a Man City goal, where every player touches the ball, makes a pass, be thrown down our throats? Was it talked about on Match of the Day? Was it hell? Nottingham Forest were really undersold, in my opinion. They defended very admirably, got a little bit lucky, but think about all the times we've conceded from outside the box with absolute wonder strikes, including Bernardo Silva's here today. The thing, the coverage, Michael Richards singled out Silva, when actually it's the teamwork. It's Gibbs White and Johnson who make that run down that right-hand wing.
Mangala.
Body one man. Mangala puts in a good ball too, an amazing shift. And it's Wood being in the right position, and Wood has taken a lot of stick. Sorry, pardon the pun. he's taken a lot of stick from the Forest fans, and I think it's so nice that we're getting there.
He's taken a lot of stick from a branch of the Forest fans.
Okay, please, let's leaf it. And it was just so nice to be in that winning environment. Now, we did ask you guys who was going down.
The Christmas tree as well.
Okay, Kieran, we get it. There's the Christmas involved. We asked the Forest fans who do they think were going down, and here are your answers. So, massive shout out to Danush, who suggests Southampton, Leeds, Bournemouth. Rhys Thomas, the editor for Impact Sports, said Bournemouth, Leeds, Southampton. And Kieran BW from Nonsense Football said Nottingham Forest will not be going down. Leeds to finish bottom from Alex Beaver. And my mum has said Leeds. Wonderful news. Wonderful news to see Leeds going down. Kieran, we did this prediction, our dangerometer. Do we think Forest are going down? And it was from our seats to the pub, the embankment. We were on the bridge looking to jump off.
I think I'm going back a little bit now.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go back to, you know, the traffic lights.
Yes.
I think I'm about there now, so a little bit before the bridge. Still not completely safe.
Nope, heavens to let you know.
I think nearly near the Trent Inn.
Yeah, I can see Trent Bridge. And Forest currently find themselves 13th, taking 8 points from their last
the
five.
The only thing that is a little bit worrying,
mm-hmm.
not so, and this isn't even in Forest's control as such, the teams around them have started to pick up form a little bit. Southampton picked up a result. Everton under Dyche looks like a team that can survive. Leicester obviously picking up results here and there now. So that's the only worrying bit about it. However, I don't know whether it's going to be enough, to be honest.
Darren Fletcher put this in a very good point. There's 4 teams that need to outdo us for us to be not even in the relegation zone. West Ham could obviously recover. Leeds United look to be in trouble. Southampton look to be in trouble. Bournemouth could get back into that mix. There's so much to talk about, and we promise we will be with you a lot more. Kieran, Forest playing West Ham on the weekend. Any predictions?
You're going to it.
Yes, I am. Thank you. Thank you to Ollie for my 18th birthday present.
I think it's going to be a very interesting game. I think it's one that Forest realistically do need to win.
Yep.
But I'm going to go for a 2... You know what? 2-0.
2-0 Forest?
2-0 Forest. Why not be positive?
Wow. I'm going to say it's going to be 1-1. I think that will be a fantastic result and just keep West Ham at arm's length. Thank you so much for listening. We slightly overrun. We do apologise to the show coming in after us, but... You know, it's been a very difficult day with Motson dying, and like we just thought we'd have a little bit of time talking about him, so we have to rush through everything else. So here's Mullican Tyre to lead us out. Thank you and go.
Mullican Tyre, always strolling in from the sea, my dear.